Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to another edition of CMC Radio. I'm your host, Rob May. Hope everyone's having a good week so far. It is Tuesday, 8:30 a.m. here on the East Coast, and it's raining, and it's a little bleak right now, but it looks like we're gearing up for a great rest of the week and a really super weekend. So hopefully you guys make some good plans for that, and we got a good show coming up for you today. We have Rudy DeRuyter coming back to us from all the way from Belgium, and he is the CEO of CKV Bank, and we're just waiting to get him on the line right now, and hopefully that will happen soon. You know, as always, we always give our guests a couple minutes to try to get on the show, and we take it from there. So, as I said, I hope everyone's having a great week. And the phone number for to call into is 323-870-4087. Good morning, Rudy.
Hi.
Welcome to the show. How you doing?
Very good, thanks. I was a bit too late.
No worries at all. No, we always give everyone a bit of a grace period. So welcome to the show, and hopefully everything's going well for you.
Excellent, thanks.
Perfect. So how have you been since we last spoke 2 weeks ago, Rudy?
After we spoke last week ago, I was skiing in Austria, so I had good weather, the snow was okay, so I'm fully ahead to go further into this year with new energy and new batteries fully loaded, so I'm in excellent shape.
Very good.
I'm in excellent shape, thanks. I didn't broke anything, so okay.
That's important.
It's always a risk to go skiing. Eh? It's always a risk to go skiing.
Yeah. Absolutely. You know. So, Rudy, on the topic of that, you know, recharging, you know, batteries and making sure that you're all good. Before we get back into, you know, just some of your background info quickly, just to familiarize everybody else. With that being said, you know, as basically the man in charge of a lot of people, how do you kind of keep people fresh and motivated?
That's a very tough one. I try to give them as much as possible new projects. So luckily the banking industry is in movement. So I have a lot of young people and I try to motivate them by doing their job. So I try to give them a new project, a new challenge, so that they can each other, they can beat each other, and so they can then they are motivated to make that project to a good end, and then they are recognized into the company, and then they are all always paid for it also. But that's not the most important thing. The recognition is, I think, the most important thing in these organizations. So I try to keep them sharp by humor and by challenging them. And I think you may challenge them because they like it, but you need to be honest and straightforward. I'm very straightforward with them, and I think that's the best way to do that.
Absolutely.
But you should ask them, because it's easy for me to say that as being in charge. As you know, it's the people who need, and I will do to make sure that my perception is okay with that. I just finished an enquete with some questionnaires, which we will put through the organization to see if my perception is okay, yes or no. So we will check their energy levels, we will check their stress levels, we will check their work balance levels, in a positive way to strengthen them for the future. So
sure.
I do. Yeah. I think it's important. I will. I'm really concerned because I've seen it in my former life for the signals of burnout, and I like to be more preventive than to curative. And so I will avoid that people in my organization are getting a burnout. So I will detect the signs before they are there. And if they are some early warning signals, I will try to work on it to avoid any of such things. So it's a bit brain training. I call it brain training. I'm not asking, do you have a burnout? Because then they will say, yes, of course, you have a burnout. No, it's brain training, positive brain training, so that they are stronger to cope with the stress indicators in the life. That's the aim.
Now, as far as that goes, have you seen firsthand people kind of, you know, hitting their breaking point with frustration and all that, hitting the wall?
Yeah, that certainly is something I saw, but it's often provoked by the long working hours and by people who are very perfectionist. And who are not able to let their work in the office, and they bring their work home. And that's often your best people in the organization, the most motivated, the most enthusiastic people, and you need to protect them for themselves. And I have seen it happening. Certainly in my restructuring life, where life was very tough after the fall. Had a team with some high qualified people who were assessed and were in the top category, so A plus, which we call it in Belgium. And even in those group, you saw some early warning signals for burnouts. And one of my team members had a burnout for 6 months. Yes. So I have recognized it then too late. Now I'm doing preventive programs to avoid those early warning signals and try to. I don't say it's perfect, but anyway, it's helping.
Sure. Right, absolutely.
And the work balance, you need to protect them for working too hard. Sometimes it's the other way around, but those people are so motivated, so perfectionist, to say work less. And you need
You mentioned that you do different challenges and you set up different things for them. So what type of stress relievers do you try to do for people?
Stress relievers? I try to avoid stress relievers, I think it's important that they have a good work balance. So if there is a traffic jam, I will prefer that they stay at home until the traffic jam is over and they come two, 3 hours later to the office. And because of this negative stress indicator, they want to be on time. They are that gives negative stress. They are not productive at all. And I prefer that they stay at home, that they work 2-3 hours, they take a shower, and they come to the office at 11 o'clock, but in a good condition, happy and wellness. Same thing at the evenings. I have two rules. On Mondays, they may not start before 9 a.m., which everybody agrees on, of course. And the Fridays afternoons, I will not see anybody more after 4 p.m. Two stupid rules, maybe, but they are working. So Monday, not before 9 a.m., and Friday, not after 4 p.m.
I personally think those are two very, very good rules. I like those.
Yeah. And at noon, they have the choice. They can eat very fast. 30 minutes is the Belgian minimum minimum in law, so you cannot go under 30 minutes. But they can go up to 2 hours. So I don't mind if they go home, take a swim at home, or tennis, or talk with their wives, or their girlfriends, or their boyfriends. And then they come back, of course, and they work a bit longer. But to give them the opportunity to choose themselves the moments in time that they want work very hard, and so it helps. So
sure.
A bit of flexibility, a lot of flexibility. I build in a lot of flexibility, and for me the hours are not important because my KPIs are all made on the output. So
right.
If somebody can do in 3 hours an output of 100 and somebody else needs 6 hours, I don't bother, but he is paid on the output and on the added value that he is representing for the organization.
Where did you kind of get this idea from, you know, to really make sure that your employees are, you know, all well rested and well not stressed and all that? I mean, did somebody else kind of lead you along the way there?
Yeah, of course. I was what they call an ambassador of ING Group. So I was really always involved in the values of a company, which are very important in my opinion. You need to have some values and you need to communicate those values through your organization. And I was an ambassador for that. I was always interested in human resources. I was even trying to be a human resource officer, which the bank never did because they say it's not the core business of banking and you are more a core business guy than a human resource manager. And I followed some courses on that in London Business School, where a lot of teachers and other guys from all over Europe, not from all over the States, but more Europe, Italians, Germans, British people, and everybody, in fact, unless their background had the same issues. And there I try to follow that. So I have 360 degrees, 180 degrees, skelter checks and so on. Because there I needed to work together with different people. It's not the same to explain a credit file to an Italian than to explain it to a German or to explain it to an American, if you understand what I mean. It's a lot of differences, not only the language, but also the culture differences are in huge difference between an Italian guy and a London guy from Barclays and a Bank of Nazionale di Lavoro in Italy, in Rome. And there we Belgians, so we're a small country, some Belgians are very good in that kind of things. And that's what you see, a lot of Belgians are CEO of large international companies because they have those. We are so small that we need to talk at least 4 languages, which is already an advantage. And we need to work together with all kinds of different nationalities. And that helps in international environment to do that, But I was always interested in the psychology of doing things. Why do we do things? And I try to be a logical thinker in that. And a bit controversial. If anybody jumps, I will certainly not jump into it. I will do the adverse thing. But that can be a bad thing also. Right? That's not always positive. It can be a bad thing too. Yeah.
Sure. No, absolutely, yeah. Now, I'm curious, as far as other people of your status, we'll say, you know, people that are in charge of others over, you know, in Europe, especially, I mean, in your inner circle of friends and such, do they kind of emulate what it is that you bring to the table with CKB Bank?
I think they do. I try to explain it to them. Of course, we are Belgians, so... And that's always the difficulty in those things. I don't know how it is in your country, in the United States. But in Belgium, the soft skills, and this is our all soft skills and atmosphere and so on, they don't take care of it as long as the hard skills, I mean the figures, are okay. So I can prove in my track record that when I arrived here, the figures were until. And now the figures are multiplied with three, so three times more gain for the company. Of course, it's very difficult to prove that this is for a large part, and a much larger part than the people are thinking, responsible in the way you have developed your soft skills. And the problem is that if the hard skills are going down, so your EBITDA or EBIT is going down, it's often the case that it is the reason is the soft skills, but then it's too late. So in Belgium, the soft skills are mainly not looked into so special. They're only looking at the figures. If the figures are okay, then they think it's a part of circumstances of the market and so on, but I don't believe that. I think 70% of the impact is due to, certainly in banking and in financial services, due to the people who are working in the bank. And I know it's tough to discuss this, but I'm sure of it. And if a company gets in distress or in difficulties, often there were already a lot of early warning signals in the soft skills, but they were not recognized or too late by the general manager or the general management, because we don't have a lot of attention to that. They're looking into the figures, and the shareholder is looking to shareholder return. And the bank authorities are looking into ratios, and then the ratios are okay, and everybody is fine. But it can well be that in the company there is a huge risk because the people are leaving, people are not any more motivated, and so on and so on. And at the day you will see it in your hard skills, but the difference in the time lag is rather long. So it takes a long time before it's visible in the figures, and when it's visible in the figures, you're often too late.
Yeah.
To change the atmosphere and the source. Because if you're in a good mood, it's a circle, eh? But if you're in a negative spiral, it's going very fast. Also, you can destroy in 10 minutes. You can destroy all your authority and all your things you build up. It takes years to build it up, but you can destroy it in half an hour. It's maybe exaggerated, but you can destroy it very quick.
Right.
And by social media. To build it up, it takes years, but to destroy it can go very fast.
Yeah.
It can go very fast. And what happened this week into the Belgium or European context, maybe you heard about it in the United States, I suppose so, the Panama Papers. This is not good for banking, of course. Again, we saw a lot of important families in Europe who has took those opportunities, and they didn't comply with the normal way of banking, which is, of course, worse, is that one of the major banks, Dexia Bank, actively has proposed those constructions to the clients, which also gives, again, a negative perspective or image for the other banks, because you can laugh, it's not me, but that's not working like that. So banking is, again, in a more negative, is put again in a more negative perspective. And
now,
a lot of banks
exactly
are suffering from the low interest. From the low interest rates. The interest rate is remaining low. The banking interest rate in Belgium is now, in Europe, is now minus 0.40 BPS. Negative. So, red, which is extraordinary. And the European Commission is easing money, so they putting a lot of money. They try to put a lot of money in the economy. I'm talking about 80 million euro per month, but it's not entering the economic system. It's entering the financial system, which is not the aim. So I don't know in which direction we will go. So a lot of banks have problems with what we call the NIM, the negative, the netto interest margin. That's the difference between what we pay for our clients and what we ask for our clients if we give a mortgage loan. And on that difference, a lot of banks are paid in Belgium on the margin, and that's called the NIM, the netto interest margin, between the deposit side and the lending side. And that's really under pressure. And 70%
of the cost.
So what's
the general solution then?
I think the solution is, and that's already happening in Europe. So first of all, an ALM exercise. It means shrinking the balance and try to do less things, because we have a lot of general banks, multi-general banks, so they are active in different activities in the banking market, and they are tackled by what I call niche players, who come from Google, who come from Apple. We call it in general the fintech industry, and they tackle some parts of those general banks activity. So I think the banks need to go back to their core business, first of all. Second point, they need to simplify the organization. There are a lot too much, what I call too much general managers and not enough soldiers, if I understand what I mean.
Yeah.
So they need to shrink their organization and to make it keep it simple. And I think those three things are the things that are happening at the moment. But they need to go very fast. And in Europe, the labor laws are not so favorable as in the United States. So if we cut down our effectives, it has a lot of costs the first year. So the impact of your actions takes 2-3 years before it's visible in your figures. And that's hard. And then the shareholder, he always dreams about double-digit return, of course.
Right.
Yeah. So it's a challenging world for banking in Europe. I see a lot of opportunities, but I see also a lot of companies who will struggle. And I think they will struggle, and I come back to my first point, because they didn't put energy in the soft skills, or not enough energy in the soft skills.
Sure.
Because in a moment of stress period, then the soft skills are even more important than when it's going well.
And as far as that goes then, with evaluating soft skills, and I know that you have your... You know, that you do something very interesting where you get a general questionnaire about your perception there by your employees. Real quick, how many employees do you actually have there?
I have 44 really close by. I have 300 all over, 300 up to 400 over Belgium. And I have 35, which I call agents. And agents are guys who are working only for me. And the other are what we call brokers, and they work for different companies. And 44 are in is really my staff. So a small company, 44 staff, 300 up to 400 brokers, and then 35 agents. That's a bit the level of the organization. So a small organization, and a family-owned organization. So that's two specific things: family-owned, one, and secondly, small.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and small is beautiful in this case.
Sure.
But
I mean,
from a huge organization, ING, where we were 125,000 people. But even in a large organization, you do need to do it on another way. You need more to manage processes than people. But even in a large organization, the same principles are important.
Sure. And obviously, it sounds like to me you feel very much at home with where you are right now.
I'm surely do, but I'm a bit of a masochist, which means that once I'm entering my comfort zone, I would like to do something else. So I'm now here for, it's my fourth year, so I think 1 year or two, and then maybe, I don't know, I will look for another exercise or another difficulties, because there were a lot of difficulties when I arrived, which was interesting for me, but a lot of them are solved. We're on track, figures are good, shareholder value, everybody is in a good mood. And I think until 2018, everything will go in the good direction. You never know, of course, but... And we are existing 60 years this year, so we're having a party, because I believe in if you have a success, you need to make a party on it. I believe in that. You need to, if you have successes, you need to tell them, and you need to give something to the people also. So I have a budget to give. I have a budget previewed, which my shareholder didn't like, but he didn't have the opportunity to say no. And he said, okay then. So I give a part of the gain, if we reach our target, will be distributed on an equal base to all the staff. Yeah.
Very
and
nice.
I'm talking about a nice amount, because I don't want to.
I'm sure they're appreciative of that.
Which is base. Then I give nothing. So I'm very selective. If I have 100, I prefer to give two people 50, then everybody 1 euro. Eh? So it doesn't work. So if I give
that's
a raise, it's a real raise.
Sure.
I give something.
Well, Rudy,
it's a real.
Unfortunately, we are out of time for today's show. But we do have you coming back on in 2 weeks. So very happy to say that we got you coming back on, and we'll talk to you again in 2 weeks.
Excellent. Excellent.
All right.
Rob.
Thank you, Rudy, for coming on today.
Perfect. Bye.
And from everybody here at CMC Radio, this is Rob May saying thanks for listening, and we'll see you soon. Have a great day, everybody.